This is TWiT.
Well, you know, last week I talked about test equipment and what you might need to get started. And the very first thing I showed was probably the world's ugliest test light, one that I just strung together with some parts I had here in the shack. And I got an email from Gene, W4IQN. You may recognize that call. Gene is the one who did all those great drawings of the pine board here for Bob that, you know, we looked at over the past year. And every one of those he put together, and excellent job on that. But he said he watched the segment and saw the little test light and said, yeah, while, you know, some people thought it was very simplistic and, you know, kind of primitive, you know, there's a lot of people out there who haven't acquired the skills to use a meter yet, and something like that can be just what they need to do some minor testing with. As a matter of fact, he sent me a photo here, and this is his test light, one that he built. It's a 1.5-volt LED driver that was scrapped from an LED walkway light that he bought at Dollar Tree for a buck. He put a test lead on it there. He's got a nail stuck in it for the probe, and it's all built into a solder dispenser. So you can see there's a nice little hook there that you can hang it on your pegboard with. And he says he uses it all the time. And if you got something like that hanging around, you know, sometimes it's more convenient for a quick continuity check. And if you don't have anything else, you know, like I said, you can tear your flashlight up and come up with something to check continuity with. So thanks for that email, Gene. And I've got more test equipment this week. You know, I kind of left you hanging. We looked at, well, maybe not, but we looked at three different meters. Maybe, I think it was four different meters. But I had the old Simpson 260 meter. And I had three different digital meters. I had a really cheap Tenma meter. I had a little better Radio Shack meter. And then I had my Fluke meter. And we just talked about some of the differences between them. There's one thing we didn't really talk much about, though, that I want to show you this week. The Fluke meter, and the reason I bought this particular one, it's a true RMS meter. While most voltohm meters are not, they're average reading on AC voltages. And why would you want a true peak reading meter? Well, there's, you know, you don't necessarily have to have it for everything, but some things, it could mount up pretty big, just depending on what you're working on and what kind of situations you're under. But I just wanted to take a look here at, well, we're going to look at my Rigol oscilloscope here, which incidentally has the math functions in it. So it can actually give me several different types of voltage readings. I have it set here, though, to show me the true RMS value as it calculates it. And now, you know, I believe I've said before that an oscilloscope is not the best thing in the world to measure voltage with. I mean, yeah, it's great for looking at signals and stuff, but if you're wanting accuracy, you probably don't choose the oscilloscope first. You go to a meter. Over here, I've got that little Radio Shack meter, and I don't remember the number on this one. This was, I don't know, maybe one of their upper ones. It's got a USB port on it, too, but I bought it for a little bit of nothing when they were going out of business. And then there's my Fluke 115 over here that I carry with me. Now, I'm feeding those a sine wave right now. It's coming off a little cheap Tenma audio oscillator here that, incidentally, has a really clean sine wave on it. I've measured it before, and it's way below 1%. We can see the sine wave right here. Just a typical sine wave. If we look at the meters now, this is a pure sine wave. This is probably like 0.1% distortion. If we look at the Radio Shack meter, it's measuring 1.418 volts. The Fluke True RMS meter is reading 1.422 volts, so they're very, very close. You know, that's like what, 0.01 or 2 difference between the two, not much. If we look over here, what the Rigol oscilloscope calculated this out to be is 1.44 volts. So it's a little bit in disagreement, not too far off, but these two basically agree with each other. You know, the on a pure sinusoidal signal like that, an average reading meter is going to give you, probably just as good a reading as you'll get off a true RMS meter, provided they're both, you know, properly calibrated. When you run into signals, though, that aren't sinusoidal or that maybe have some distortion in them, then the voltages are not going to measure the same, because to get a true RMS reading, what you're trying to do is take the power of the voltage that's in that waveform and equate it to what the same amount of power would be in DC. So if you've got a really distorted waveform, the average reading meter is not going to know. All it's going to see is the peaks and try to average it out and determine, you know, what your voltage is there. It really can't analyze it and determine exactly what it is, but, you know, it'll give you a good idea. Let me give you an example here. If we go back and look again, okay, pure sine wave, they're both substantially in agreement with each other there. Now let's take that. Let's flip this thing over and put it on a square wave. Well, things have changed a little bit. Now the Radio Shack meter, the average meter, says 3.45 volts. The Fluke says it's only 3.129. So what's happened here is our average responding meter is reading, you know, around 10% higher than the true RMS voltage is on a square wave. The scope over here says 3.15, so it's actually closer to what the Fluke says. Now let's complicate things a little bit more. What I'm going to do now is distort the waveform in a somewhat primitive manner here. Let's see. Okay, that looks plenty ugly. So let's see what we've got now. What this is a 60 hertz wave that I've sort of superimposed 120 hertz on top of it. So it's not a good sinusoidal wave there. It's kind of nasty looking. If we look at our meters over here now, well, they're kind of jumping around. You know, it's hard for them to really zero in on that. The Fluke, it's kind of pinned it down to 3.32, roughly, volts there, 3.32. The Radio Shack's dropping all the way down to 3 volts, so it's actually reading a little low. What does the scope here say? About 3.34. It's sort of in agreement with the Fluke here. So we can see that although this one's really dancing around because it's having a hard time adjusting to this shifting waveform here. But you can see you're measuring quite a bit of difference there. I have seen this thing, right before the show tonight when I was testing it out. This was like a half a volt lower than the Fluke was reading. Now you say, well, half a volt, you know, what's that? That's not much. Well, it just depends if you've got a vacuum tube that, you know, maybe it goes for $3,000 or $4,000 and it wants 6.3 volts on the filaments. You better put, a true 6.3 volts on those filaments and not operate very much over, particularly not over. And you can go under a little bit, but we've talked about that before. But you need to know exactly what voltage you're putting on the filaments of that tube. It's got a big effect on the life of it by as much as, the life can be doubled by managing your filament voltage properly. Now, not so much in the tubes that we use in amateur radio, but some of the ceramic tubes that are used in broadcast transmitters and such makes a big difference in tube life. And when you're spending $3,000 or $4,000 on a tube, yeah, you want it to last as long as you can. So that's what a true RMS meter does. It gives you a more accurate picture of what the actual true RMS voltage is of a waveform that might not necessarily be a pure sine wave. And with that, a couple of things I want to mention here. One is, why would you ever run across, say, an AC signal that wasn't pure sinusoidal? Well, there could be some variable speed motor drives involved in there that will throw that way off. You could have some electronic ballast. Those won't put out a good pure sine wave. Computers won't. Sometimes HVAC systems don't. And solid state environments, it's a lot of occasions where you're not getting a pure sine wave. UPS power supplies are another one there that, it's probably not a pure sine wave coming out of most UPSs. So keep that in mind.